Good morning. Welcome to our service this morning. For those who don't know me, I'm not Nick. Nick's over there. So I'm Simon, I'm one of the members of the church, and I'll be leading the service this morning. If there is a fire, a little bit of housekeeping, the fire exits here and out the front, and there's toilets in the corners. So welcome to our service. And welcome on Zoom as well. I'm not sure where your toilets and exits are, but hopefully you will know. So just a couple of notices as well before we begin. On the 17th, we have our church members meeting. For all those members of the church, we'd love to see you here. And on the 27th, we have our church day of prayer. That's a Saturday for the church day of prayer. And a Wednesday for the church meeting. Okay. So, welcome. The psalmist writes, Psalm 117, "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love towards us, and his faithfulness to us endures forever. Praise the Lord." Let's open with prayer. Lord God, thank you for this wonderful day. Thank you that we can come and worship in your house together. Lord, when there are so many people here, we pray that you will be with us. Your presence will be here. Lord, we come from many different backgrounds and have had many, many different types of weeks. Some good, some bad. But Lord, we all have one thing in common, one goal this morning. We want to draw closer to you. To hear your words. Speak to us, Lord, directly into our situations. We want to give you thanks today, Lord. Lord, to thank you for what you've done for us in our lives and what you will do in the future. You are God, the only God, and we give you glory this morning. Lord, I pray that you will move among us today, refresh us, renew us. Lord, as we consider your word, in Jesus' name, amen. Our first hymn this morning is "Just As I Am."
Thank you.
Please be seated. So this morning, I was given one part of the armour of God. I was given the helmet of salvation. In fact, I was asked to preach on five words. Take the helmet of salvation. A bit scary to start with, but actually, I think I could probably do two, maybe three services. Certainly 2 or 3 hours, so strap yourself in, guys. Okay, so the helmet of salvation. We're going to have a hat quiz. Everyone knows I like a bit of a quiz. So, how many hats can you name? Some are easy, some not so easy. So the first one, baseball cap. Beret. Oh, so now it gets difficult. Fedora. And don't ask me the difference because I cannot tell. So with this one, what's this one? Panama. Well done. Bucket hat, yeah. Bucket. I didn't even know a bucket hat existed. That one? A beanie. Okay. So, next slide. Some people call it a coolie hat. It's actually, one of them. A kasa. That's the Japanese version. And I'll explain why that's up there if you want to ask me later. What about that one? I put into Google unusual hats. And that's what came out. It's a flake hat. I'm not so sure about that one. But it does say flake 99 on the yellow band, I suppose. What about that one? Sombrero. Bowler hat. Ew, you're too good at this. Ah, the older ones down here. Just like that, yeah. Pith hat. Pith helmet. So, we are going to move on to helmets now. Any of the younger ones want to join in? No. It's a diver's helmet. What about that one? You must know that one. Policeman's helmet. Well done. That one? A knight's helmet. Cycling helmet. These are too easy now. Motorcycle, yeah. And what's the last one? Fireman's helmet. Okay. So that was a bit of fun. But what's the difference between a hat and a helmet? Protection? Exactly. Primary difference between a hat and a helmet is a helmet is for protection. So we're going to be looking at the helmet of salvation. But before we do that, we're going to have a bit more worship. The music group are going to lead us. I've given them the opportunity to pick their own songs. So they are now going to lead us in worship. And Nick looks worried. David looks more worried. So let's join together in worship, remembering who we're worshiping this morning.
Salvation belongs to our God. Praise and glory, wisdom and praise. be strong in purpose and unity, declaring aloud praise and glory, wisdom and grace, honor and power, strength. If you are God forever and ever, if you are God forever and ever, if you are God forever and ever, amen. If you are God forever and ever, if you are God forever and ever, if you are God forever and ever, amen.
Please be seated. Let's pray for the young people before they leave us. Lord, we thank you for so many young people in the church, but we could always take more. Lord, we pray that they will have a great time in Sunday social, that they will learn of you, but they will have fun. They will enjoy themselves, Lord, just as you meant them to. Church is not meant to be dreary and dull. It's meant to be fun. You are a fantastic God, Lord, and I just pray that they will come to know you this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. It's okay, I'm still alive, I'm just here. Okay, so one of the best bits about leading the service is you can ask other people to do things. So Lynn's now going to come up and lead us in our prayers of intercession and then follow on with our reading this morning.
Let us come before our Lord in prayer. Father God, we bring our prayers to you this morning for our world. A world in turmoil, Lord, with wars and conflicts, it seems, everywhere we look. We think specifically of the Ukraine, Lord. We pray for peace and a resolution to the fighting. We pray for the families who have been devastated by this conflict, the loss of life and freedom. We think too of the war in Gaza. Lord, we pray for an end to the fighting. With election and change around the world, Lord, we pray that your hand will be in control, that the people, your people, will know you are with them. Lord, we pray that your name will be known around the world. Lord, we remember those in the Caribbean after Hurricane Beryl passed through. Lord, we are reminded of the power of your creation, a world you put in place by your hand. Lord, we hear so much about global warming and the effect we are having on your creation. We are reminded of your awesome power and our responsibility to look after your creation. Lord, you put us in charge. Help us to take care of your creation and preserve it for the next generation. Moving closer to home now, this week has been dominated by the elections. We pray for our new government. Lord, we pray that your voice will be heard in the national and local government arenas. We think specifically of Sir Keir Starmer as he takes up the position of Prime Minister. We pray for our country and its leadership today, Lord. With so many problems across the country, we need you, Lord. We pray for a time of stability in the country. Every day we turn on the news to some catastrophe or conflict, argument or disagreement. Lord, we pray for your peace. We think now of our town, Lord, of Desborough and all the people who call it home. Lord, we are called to be a witness to these people in the way we live and conduct ourselves. We pray today that we will see the need and act. Help us to serve our community this week, Lord. We pray that we will listen to your calling on our lives and how we can affect our local community. Teach us to see the need, Lord. to help people of all ages find and follow you. Lord, we offer our prayers for those in our community who are unwell or struggling with life. We pray that they will know your presence today and be upheld by our prayers. Lord, in the silence, we bring them by name to you now. Lord, be with us now as we study your word together. In Jesus' name, amen. Our reading this morning is taken from Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 18, the armour of God. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armour of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armour of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Stand firm, then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist, with the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions, with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people.
Thank you. Okay, so the armour of God. A little bit of background first. Ephesus was the fourth largest city in the area at the time. It was under Roman control since 133 BC. The letter to the Ephesians began as a circular letter to the churches in the area, in an area we now know as Western Turkey. In the letter, Paul speaks about a spiritual warfare. There were over 50 deities worshipped in Ephesus at the time. So it's no wonder Paul speaks of a spiritual battle. The letter wasn't written to address any specific issue or heresy. The letter was written to help us better understand God's purpose and to expand our horizons. Chapters 4 to 6 speak of the good walk, looking at topics such as unity, maturity, renewal of personal life, differences in personal relationships, and finally, strength in the spirit. And it's here that we find the passage, the armour of God. The good news. The good news is the ground has already been won. So standing firm is where we find ourselves. We need to defend the ground we've already won. And this can only be done with intent and commitment. The armour described is primarily for defence, with only the sword of the Spirit for battle. And even then, it's to be fought in the Spirit with God's strength. So, what are we fighting against? The devil's weapons here include apathy, anger, and false gods. So we need to put on the armour today. Today we maybe don't have named gods or named deities, but we still have the same problems. We have our own idols, albeit different, and sometimes more subtle. Money, fame, for example. But we also have some of the same problems that they had in Ephesus. We have apathy and we have anger. At the start of chapter 6, Paul begins with a call to be strong. This is not a human strength, not a physical strength. It's a strength from elsewhere. We're called to be strengthened by God. We need to give God space and time to work. We need to stand firm. Firm in our faith. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 13 and 14 say this. Be on your guard. Stand firm in the faith. Be people of courage. Be strong. Do everything in love. So standing firm implies the battle has already been won. And for most of us, that battle has been won. We have all been saved. But if there is anyone here this morning who is unsure about that, then I urge you to talk with somebody. I urge you to pray with somebody and to accept Christ as your Saviour. And accept the gift of the Spirit, for this is a spiritual battle. It speaks to me this morning that just how good God is and how much he understands and he knows. Only slightly more than half an hour ago, while we were sat outside, one of the deacons prayed for exactly this and didn't know my service. They prayed for salvation. They prayed that somebody in here would hear and would understand and would be saved this morning. Our God is great. For those who have been saved, we must continue to put on the full armour of God. And we must do that daily. The battle is not just on a Sunday and then back to work on a Monday. Apathy is one of the devil's greatest weapons. He's all too happy when we forget to pray or we forget to read our Bible. Every morning we need to prayerfully put on the full armour of God. We can't fight the battle in our own strength. It's not a physical battle and should not be thought of in human terms. The core image here is of hand-to-hand combat, up close and personal. So how do we apply this in our lives? We have the tools. We have prayer. We have the Bible. Prayerfully, we must put on each item in the list. On your seats this morning was a piece of paper listing out the armour. So the challenge this morning is for you to use that piece of paper every day this week coming and to prayerfully every morning or evening, whenever you pray, to put on the armour of God. to put on each piece one by one, the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, feet fitted with the readiness of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, and finally, the sword of the Spirit. So, what about the helmet of salvation? So I looked in the dictionary to see what salvation was supposed to mean. And it said this: salvation, from the Latin salva, safe, saved. Salvation is the state of being saved or protected from harm or a dire situation. In religion and theology, salvation generally refers to the deliverance of the soul from sin and its consequences. I'll read that again. In religion and theology, salvation generally refers to the deliverance of the soul from sin and its consequences. Do you wear that helmet every day? There are over 122 references to salvation in the NIV Bible. In Ephesians, there are 5 references to the phrase heavenly realms, denoting this as a spiritual battle, not a physical battle. How do we turn that into our own thinking? What can we think of today? So let's think of a fireman. A fireman has a uniform, he has a helmet, and he puts that on when he goes to work, when he joins with his colleagues to go and fight that fire. But he has to put that uniform on to go and fight that fire. If he didn't, he couldn't save other people. And that's the same for us. We must make sure that we're ready for the spiritual battle. If we haven't put on our own armour, how can we help other people with theirs? When a soldier suits up for battle, the helmet is the last piece of armour to go on. It was the final act of readiness in preparation for combat. The helmet was vital for survival, protecting the brain, protecting the head. If the head was badly damaged, the rest of the armour would be of little use. When we put on the helmet of salvation, we put on Christ himself. Christ protects not just the head, but the entire spiritual being. To wear the helmet of salvation means to live every day focused on eternity and the promised future of Christ. The helmet protects the head, but also the mind, against anything that would distort or destroy our Christianity. If our thoughts and minds are set on Christ, are not set on Christ, then we have lost the battle. We are in a spiritual battle, and we need spiritual resources. Putting on the armour of God is a choice we make every day. So we need the helmet. But why? Without the sacrifice of Christ on the cross and his resurrection, without his salvation, we could not enter heaven. With the helmet, we can find our peace. A peace that comes from acknowledging Christ as our Saviour. When we look at Ephesians, we can see that there is no specific issue being addressed. Maybe that's like us. But still, we need to be mindful. We need to put on the armour, as this is, again, a spiritual battle, and it's ongoing. The assurance of salvation is our impenetrable defence against anything the enemy throws at us. Jesus said in Matthew 10:28, "Do not be afraid of those who kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell." The idea in this verse is not that we are prepared for Satan's Satan's attacks. We must grab the helmet of salvation and buckle it on tightly. Salvation is not limited to a one-time act in the past, or even a future event. God's salvation is an ongoing, eternal state that we all enjoy. It is a daily protection and deliverance from our sinful nature and Satan's schemes. Do you live, a question for you now, do you live as if God and his salvation, with God and his salvation through Christ? What can we do to keep the helmet on firmly throughout our life? Renew our minds. Our minds are a battlefield, and the outcome of those battles can determine the course of our life. Romans 12:1-2 instructs us to renew our minds by allowing the truth of God's word to wipe out anything contrary to it. Old ideas, opinions, and worldviews should be replaced. We must allow God's truth to continually wash away the world's filth, lies, and confusion, and adopt God's perspective. Reject doubts that arise from circumstance. As humans, we're sensory creatures. We can't understand things unless we touch them, smell them, hear them, see them, taste them. We tend to disregard it if we can't sense it. If we allow them to, circumstances can convince us that God doesn't really exist. He doesn't really love us. His world, his word is not true. It is impossible to have faith and doubt at the same time. God renews our faith. With the helmet of salvation firmly in place, we can choose to believe what appears impossible. Keep an eternal perspective. When life crashes in around us, we must remember to look up. Our salvation is the most precious gift we have received. Keeping our eyes on that can help us weather the storms. We can choose to think of it like this: if it doesn't have eternal significance, it's not important. Remember that the victory is already accomplished. When we consider ourselves dead to sin but alive to God, we eliminate many of the opportunities Satan has to entrap us. When choosing sin is no longer an option for us, because we recognize that we are new creatures, we effectively cut off many of the avenues of failure. Find all your hope in him. Psalm 73 says, Whom have I in heaven but you? Besides you, I desire nothing on earth. Our helmet is most effective when we treasure what it represents. The salvation Jesus purchased for us cannot share a place of importance in our hearts with anything else. When pleasing the Lord is our pleasure and delight, we eliminate many of Satan's laws and render his evil suggestions powerless. We're going to sing our next song now. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Please be seated. So, in conclusion, putting on the helmet of salvation. As we put on the helmet of salvation every day, our minds become more insulated against the suggestions, desires, and traps the enemy lays for us. We choose to guard our minds from worldly influences and instead think on things that honour Christ. In doing so, we wear our salvation as a protective helmet that will guard our hearts and our minds in Jesus Christ. So I'd like you now, just in the quiet, for 2 minutes, to consider your salvation and what that means to you. What it means to you to be saved. And if you don't know Christ, maybe today, now is the time to ask him into your life, to accept his salvation for you. Let us pray. Lord God, as we think of our salvation and what that means to us, as we consider the sacrifice you made, Lord, as we remember to put on the armour of God, the helmet of salvation to protect us, to protect our minds, Lord, from the world, from Satan's attacks. I just pray that we remember throughout the week, Lord, that gift, the gift of salvation, the gift of life that you gave us, the forgiveness of sin. We want to give you thanks, Lord, for that. We want to praise your name. Lord, as we join together, we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Our closing hymn now is "And Can It Be?" Please be seated. So before I close in prayer, I'd just like to go through the 5 points I made again. Very briefly. So renew your minds. Reject doubts that arise from circumstance. Remember that victory is already accomplished. Find all your hope in Him and keep an eternal perspective. Let us pray. May the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead the great shepherd of the sheep, equip you with everything good for doing His will. And may He work in us what is pleasing to Him through Jesus Christ, in whom be the glory for ever and ever. Amen. Please stay for a coffee. And if anything has spoken to you today, talk to somebody. Pray about it, but talk to somebody. It's the first step. Thank you.